Luke chapter 7, we'll read verses 1 through 17 of God's Word. And beloved, these are the words of God. They are inerrant, they're infallible, that is, they cannot err and they do not err, and therefore they are completely authoritative for our lives. When he had completed all his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. And a centurion's slave, who was highly regarded by him, was sick and about to die. And when he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come and save the life of his slave. When they came to Jesus, they earnestly implored him, saying, "He is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation, and it was he who built us our synagogue." Now Jesus started on his way with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this reason I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him, and turned and said to the crowd that was following him, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Soon afterwards, he went to a city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large crowd. Now, as he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her, and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Fear gripped them all, and they began glorifying God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." This report concerning him went out all over Judea and in all the surrounding district. Those are the words of God. This passage, by way of two miracles by Jesus, confirms his divinity, that he is God, far above any other ever to walk the earth. In the first case, the first miracle, through verse 10, there was a slave who was sick and about to die. And his master was a centurion, so he was a leader of soldiers. And he had a slave. And this centurion heard about Jesus, where he was and such, and he had heard about Jesus, and sent some Jewish elders to go to get Jesus to come and rescue, to save his slave, to heal him, that he would not die. And he believed that Jesus could heal this slave of his. And as Jesus was coming to the centurion's home, the centurion sent words, these words. He said, "Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this reason I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed." You see the faith of this man in those words. He believed and he trusted Jesus to heal his slave. He knows all Jesus had to do was to speak words, and his slave would be healed. He didn't even have to come to be in his presence. All he had to do was speak the words. Jesus told the people with him then, verse 9, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." And the slave was healed. And what do you notice about this account? Jesus did not even have to speak a word to heal him. Jesus is God and can just will something to be, and it is, because he is the living and true God. That is the power of our Savior. And then the second miracle, through the end of our passage, there was a dead man being carried out of a house. And you can imagine a widow. She's lost her husband, now she's lost her son, she has no family left. And it says in verse 13, when the Lord saw her, notice he hadn't been told about her, he saw her and knew what had happened. He, of course, knew because he is God. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Here we see the Lord's mercy. And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Jesus raised this man from the dead. No one can raise people from the dead except God and our Savior. And He can raise you up from the dead, since He Himself was raised up from the dead. That's 1 Corinthians 15. And that is our only hope. If He did not rise, then there is no hope for us. There is no resurrection. And while that should give us great comfort, and as we'll see in a few moments from Exodus, it should also, verse 16, like we see here, it should grip you with fear and trembling, because here in their presence was God Almighty. And that should bring us fear and trembling, because that's who we go before now. And we go in prayer now, too. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Son, and yet we come pleading with You that we would tremble before You. We struggle with this, to come before the God with whom we have to do. Father, we're thankful that You give us these words, that You give us these words which can act as a rebuke to us who come comfortable before Your presence, who come complacent thinking that we can go out from here and be here without any threat. Father, may it not be with us and our hearts and our souls, but that we would fear You. That fear would come because of the awe and wonders that You perform, of the great acts and also Your holiness, and how in Your sin and in Your presence sin will be consumed by fire, because You are the consuming fire. That sin cannot be in Your presence. And we cannot be in Your presence except by Your grace in Christ Jesus alone. And so, Father, we ask that we would learn to tremble and fear You, and always remember that to come before You, we need Your Son. And so if there are any here who do not believe in Your Son or not trusting in Him, and Lord, even from our children, we ask that You would bring them to You and cause them to believe, cause them to fear You. Father, we're thankful that You're the God of power, and You're the God of healing, and You're the God of the one who raises up bodies from the dead. And may You do that in our lives. We pray for the healing of many who are sick or struggling in their bodies or who struggle all the time in their bodies, that You would heal them. And for Your people, we know, guaranteed, You will heal Your people, whether in this life or the one to come. And Father, we're thankful that You provide for us a church, a congregation, a place to come and worship You. And we pray that You would bless Your people. We don't deserve Your blessing, but we pray that You would receive our worship and bless us because of Your Son Jesus Christ, for His sake, for His glory, that we can attest again and again of the great wonders You have done through us to bring glory to Your Son. In our weakness, we acknowledge and declare that You are strong and that Your grace is sufficient. And so we pray and plead that You would hear us, because You are the covenant-keeping God. You are the God who is faithful to Your promises, and You promise to be long-suffering with us and to shower us with Your covenant mercy and faithfulness. And so hear our prayers in Your Son. We pray in His name. Amen.